Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can access this live stream anywhere at kpcg.fm. And you can also get archives of all of these great radio shows there at any time, kpcg.fm. Well, yesterday was a pretty fun day because I got to be a groomsman in a wedding for the first time in my life. One of my good friends got married yesterday. I was at a beautiful boathouse in Oklahoma City, right on the river there. We all really enjoyed that a lot, of course. It's actually the first time I've been in a wedding, of course, outside of my own, since I was, I think, 4 years old. I was in my uncle, Mr. Stephen Fleury's wedding as a ring bearer. And then my sister, who was two, was the flower girl. So we walked down the aisle together in their wedding. And apparently, when we were both standing on stage during the ceremony, I was wiping my mouth on her dress because I had some animal cracker crumbs all over my face. And they have that on video, too. I've seen that recently. So it was good to be back in a wedding again and up there, up close, witnessing a ceremony like that, which is really just always so emotional, especially when you consider the spiritual parallels of all that. Just so much beauty and depth in the marriage ceremony. Well, yesterday was also declared a National Day of Prayer by United States President Donald Trump. I thought it was a good thing that this National Day of Prayer coincided with that wedding, because what is more important in a wedding than prayer? We as a family yesterday had a couple of family prayers before the wedding started, just asking that the couple could enjoy every part of the ceremony and the reception, and that they could establish God at the foundation of their relationship. If they love God the most, then the marriage will certainly last. But prayer is something that is, of course, always relevant as well to God's work. Recently, we also had some bad news regarding the work. Bad news, if you want to call it that. A couple of Mr. Gerald Fleury's personal appearance campaigns for Seattle, Washington, and Fresno, California next weekend had to be postponed because of this coronavirus, and all of the health officials pretty much canceling public events and ordering quarantines. Now, whatever you might think about that, it is something to consider when you're trying to put on an event, because maybe a lot of the trumpet subscribers could be worried or somewhat concerned about these events continuing. Also, because a lot fewer people would be attending, God's work has to consider that too, whether it's worth it, worth the cost of actually going up there. So this is really a time where we have to be praying a lot for God's work. And there's a great example in history, biblical history, about the power of prayer. And it does relate directly to the success of God's work. The story I'm talking about, the man whose example we're going to discuss today, is Nehemiah. This was a man who was actually serving as a personal bodyguard to the king of Persia. He was a Jew, but the people had been in captivity for a long time. But a lot of the Jews had been sent back by a previous king to repair Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah in chapter 1 of this book, of his book in the Bible, recounts how a friend told him of the sad state of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1 verse 3 says, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." A tragic situation there in Jerusalem. And this had a terrible impact on Nehemiah's attitude. Verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." During this time of tremendous persecution against the Jews, where they all had to risk their personal safety to try to rebuild their capital city, Nehemiah chose to do one thing: pray. That was his immediate reaction to a time of crisis among God's chosen people. And this prayer really is a legendary one. This is a prayer that we can all look to and gain so much inspiration from to this very day. Verse 5 here in Nehemiah 1 says, "I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." You see right here, Nehemiah starts out by praising God, extolling God's power, and reminding God of his sense of justice, his trustworthiness, the fact that God will follow through on everything he says. He's reminding God how willing God is to answer prayers, especially when people are obeying him and showing love for him through obedience. Verse 6 of this prayer, "Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes be open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned." Here you can see Nehemiah is pledging to pray day and night about this tragedy, about the sad state of the Jews returning to Jerusalem and facing this daunting task of rebuilding the city. Nehemiah is giving God warning that he would be about to hear from Nehemiah quite a lot, day and night. "You can expect to hear from me quite a lot, God." And he takes personal responsibility for this dire situation. Nehemiah looked to himself and he realized what he personally might have been doing wrong to cause the problem. He examined his life. He searched for sins in his life that may have been stopping this project. People surrounding Jerusalem were constantly trying to meddle and stop the work, either by attacking the Jews there outright or by just pretending they had certain authority to put construction projects to a halt. And this was something the Jews were dealing with seemingly every day, which was really hampering their progress. But Nehemiah wanted to see, what was he doing wrong? What were God's people doing wrong? What kind of sins were being committed that could possibly upset God and give him a reason to slow down the work? This is something we could always consider. If it seems like we're about to go through an open door, make a huge breakthrough in God's work, And then all of a sudden, for seemingly no reason, that door slams shut. Certainly there are times, of course, where that is just God's will being done and showing us he doesn't want us to go through that door. But other times, maybe God did want us to go through the door and we were slowing him down. We were stopping him from keeping the door open. We can sometimes give God a reason to shut doors. And we want to make sure we're always examining ourselves and making sure that's not the case. But look what Nehemiah says here. Both I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't try to blame God for what was going on. That's what we see all around us today. Anytime there's a natural disaster. Now today, because people are more and more secular and anti-God, they're starting to blame climate change. But in the past, in the recent past, people would blame God and say, if God really has so much love for his creation, why would he allow all this suffering? People blamed God after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, for example, too. Not just with natural disasters. It's so instinctive and natural to try to blame somebody else for what we have done wrong. Why is that? Because we don't like the discomfort of self-examination. We don't like to look closely at our lives and see all of the darkness and the blemishes. All the areas where we need to improve. But we have to see the vision. We have to understand why it's so important to examine ourselves. As we're seeing here, it's important for the good of the work. It's also important for our own personal spiritual character development. Man's potential is to become God. But how can we do that if we're not constantly working to become perfect like God is? It's just astounding reading through this prayer from Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 1. The fact, in the first place, that his initial response to this crisis was to pray. But then he starts out praising God, reminding God of his promises, and then taking personal responsibility for the sad state of the Jewish people. And he continues that here in verse 7. Nehemiah 1 verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which you commanded your servant Moses. That was obviously true. That was why the Jews went into captivity in the first place, to Babylon. And then they remained servants to Persia when Persia toppled Babylon. And only just recently, after all this time, as servants to these different world-ruling empires, the Jews had been released from captivity, at least those who wanted to return to Jerusalem, to rebuild it. But the reason for this entire enslavement was lawbreaking. Nehemiah could clearly see the reason for this suffering. When the Jews finally had the chance to return to their homeland, this was by far the most important thing for them to remember. They had to remember exactly why they were enslaved in the first place, so that they wouldn't make that same mistake again. The law was at the center of Nehemiah's thoughts and prayers at this time. Says here in verse 8, remember, I beseech you, the words that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, if you sin, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. That's verses 8 and 9. These are God's promises to his people. Yes, you will suffer. You will go into captivity in foreign lands if you disobey me. But the moment you repent, the moment you really turn to me, I will deliver you. Even if you've been scattered throughout the entire universe, I will collect you one by one and bring you back together again. That is God's promise, and it remains true to this day. There are consequences for lawbreaking. Yet, when we turn around, when we make real changes, God promises to deliver us from our own self-inflicted wounds. Verse 10, still in Nehemiah 1, still going through this incredible prayer. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Then verse 11, O Lord, I beseech you, let now your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to hear or to fear your name. And prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah ends this prayer reminding God of how much the Jews wanted to be heard, how desperately they needed to be heard by God in prayer. And he also asks for mercy in the sight of the king of Persia, King Artaxerxes. Nehemiah, again, was a cupbearer or a bodyguard for this king. And if he was going to ask for time off from his normal job to go help in Jerusalem, he needed God to help open Artaxerxes' mind to this request. Back in those days, making certain requests could get a servant killed. Nehemiah had to trust in God to protect him from that. This is an article from Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry. It's at pcg.church, titled, Nehemiah, a Man of Zeal. This is what Mr. Flurry wrote about Nehemiah. Studying into Nehemiah's life is very inspiring. No one today may be able to match Nehemiah's zeal. He worked very hard and extremely fast. Again, that really does apply specifically to us right now. Working hard and fast. That's what God wants from us as we support his work today. And this total reliance on God in prayer is something else God certainly wants from us today. Here is chapter 2 of Nehemiah, where the king noticed Nehemiah was a bit more sad than usual. Nehemiah was someone who had regular contact with this king, so the king knew him well enough to tell when something was out of the ordinary. And he asked Nehemiah what's wrong. Nehemiah let the king know, and then verse 4, Nehemiah 2, verse 4, then the king said unto me, for what do you make request? Nehemiah had just explained this situation in Jerusalem, how the walls were burned down, the city was torn apart. And the king then asks him, what do you want? What can I do to help? Here in verse 4, the end of verse 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. This is an account of Nehemiah mid-conversation with the king praying to God. That's how urgent it was for Nehemiah to receive help. Praying mid-conversation, praying on the spot. That's something we can all apply to. There are a lot of situations that come up where we need immediate help from God when making a decision or when speaking words to somebody. Nehemiah realized this. He prayed again for mercy. Right there, that very second, the king asked what he wanted. And Artaxerxes granted the king's requests. Nehemiah asked for leave. He asked for the ability to go to Jerusalem and help to rebuild the city walls. This was something that must have scared Nehemiah a bit, knowing that if the king didn't have mercy, Nehemiah could have been put to death. This is the kind of trust God expects us to have in him. And what mercy this Gentile king, this hardened, tough, merciless king had in this situation because of God's intervention. Mr. Fleury writes in this article, this shows us the extreme importance of prayer. How often do we pray? How detailed are our prayers? Do we pray immediately when the need arises? When we face major trials and tests in our lives, do we take them to God before we act? Or do we act and then take the consequences to God? The Apostle Paul admonished the Romans to be instant in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12. Instant, faithful prayers get immediate results. Nehemiah put this principle into practice. Being instant in prayer. Before he spoke, before he acted, before he faced negative consequences for moving forward without God, he got God's input and God's intervention before he even spoke to the king. It's incredible when you look at just how extensively God answered these prayers from Nehemiah. Remember, he had been praying to God before talking with the king, but then he also prayed to God while talking to the king. God answered all of this. He did respond favorably. The king asked how long the journey would be, when Nehemiah would come back, and then he gave Nehemiah quite a long amount of time off from his job. Nehemiah did rebuild the walls of Jerusalem very quickly, in just 52 days. But still, try to apply that to your job today. Could you imagine getting a minimum of 52 days off in a row? Wouldn't God have to intervene to allow that for you? For most of us in any sort of a regular job, a job where it's really important that we show up every day, to get 52 days off is an extraordinary feat, a miraculous feat. God provided that because Nehemiah wanted to help do the work. He took responsibility for what was happening in Jerusalem, and he wanted to go personally make a difference and restore that city to some of its former glory. Not only did King Artaxerxes help Nehemiah and grant him this massive amount of time off, but he also wrote letters of recommendation for the various rulers of land on the journey in between Persia and Jerusalem. That way, Nehemiah could show his papers to these different smaller rulers and gain passage through their land. He also wanted to make sure that he built an impenetrable wall. and he needed to get a letter written to the keeper of the king's forest to use those trees. And the king also gave him that letter. So Nehemiah was given letters of passage. He was granted passage all the way from Persia to Jerusalem. And he was also given plenty of supplies to rebuild the wall. Mr. Fleury writes here, Nehemiah recognized that it was God who had given him great favor. Even though the king and queen physically supported him, their support was directly inspired by God. Nehemiah stated, "The good hand of my God was upon me." Again and again, God greatly blessed his work at that time through this carnal king. It is truly miraculous how often God used this king to help both Ezra and Nehemiah. We must always look to God for the help we need today. God will always come to our aid, even through people outside of God's church. And that's a great point for all of you listeners. Not every one of you is a member of the Philadelphia Church of God, attending church services with us. But we all have our different roles to play. And as you can see here, prayer is a huge part of that. There are times where events in society around us interfere with God's work, like this coronavirus. Maybe negotiations for a Jerusalem building take longer than we expect, which certainly seems to be the indication again with this second building we've been trying to purchase. So we do need to make sure that we're praying, that we're looking at ourselves and seeing what we can do better personally and collectively too, to make sure that this work does move forward. And that we're praying all along the way, day and night, instantly, in the heat of the moment, anytime we need help. We know that God will answer these prayers. He will move the work forward, especially if we're doing our part. Again, remember, the good hand of God was upon Nehemiah because Nehemiah trusted in God. He risked death to ask for this time off from the king. Over 2 months it ended up being, I'm sure, by the time he traveled to and from Jerusalem. But Nehemiah, in just less than 2 months, was a part of a massive renaissance in Jerusalem, restoring that city, restoring the love of the law within God's people too, alongside Ezra. All of this started because of Nehemiah's close relationship with God, because of the power of prayer, because God did answer Nehemiah's prayers. We need to keep this in mind when certain things happen that do slow down God's work. We can barrel right through any obstacle with the power of prayer, just like Nehemiah did. So today we've been talking about Nehemiah's powerful example of prayer, constant prayer, instant prayer, prayer that did get results and make a difference in God's work. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.